When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
Lost in America, episode 50. My name's Turner Sparks.
My name is Kaplan, Michael Ira Kaplan.
The full thing for the 50 episodes. You can find me at Turner B. Sparks on Twitter. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America. We made it to 50.
I made it to 223 followers last I checked.
Hey.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. 50. On the pod today, we have Monroe Martin, comedian Monroe Martin, world touring comedian Monroe Martin. You know him from Last Comic Standing. He was a big, I think he was a finalist in Last Comic Standing. He's been on Master of None with Aziz Ansari. He also
is a big Eagles fan.
He's a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. He's a friend of Weber. He's a friend of ours. I've toured China with him. But we're going to talk to him today amongst all those things. Also, he grew up in foster care.
Oh, okay.
We've never had anyone. I don't think.
Well, we've never asked every guest.
Grew up as a foster child. I know he talks about it in his act. It's hilarious. He's going to come in, explain to us what it is here.
Yeah, I don't know what foster care is compared to adoption. I don't even
No one knows. He might know. But then I looked it up, what they do in China with that, too. So we're going to go back and forth.
All right. And I hope you told him to wear an Eagles jersey, since he's a big fan, because Ikram's mulling around here. Ikram might want to buy one off of him. He might give
we'll
him two
see.
Grand. Who knows?
Yeah. So, first of all, I have bad news. Before we get to anything.
Yeah, we have some news, right?
It took me 50 episodes. I don't think I'm Chinese anymore.
How do you... Did the DNA test come
in? Nothing to do with DNA tests. I went out last night for the first time. My wife and I went with a friend to go get Chinese food. Mm-hmm. And we went to a super authentic place called Hunan House.
Hunan House.
I would shout out, but just hold on.
Very authentic sounding.
So we go there. It is. It's like Hunan is like this part of China where all the super spicy food comes from.
Right.
And so we go there. I'm all pumped up. It's like one of my favorite foods in China. I'm going to go there. I'm going to eat. I eat. Everything's great. We get spicy beans, spicy fish, spicy tofu.
All your wife vouches for it. This place is authentic.
100% authentic.
Okay.
Yeah, it was expensive, but authentic.
Like the fortune cookies were written in
the only
Chinese.
No fortune cookies. Okay. And the only thing I wasn't happy about, they had the beer was cold. I was like, come on, you got to have warm beer if it's China.
Chinese don't have cold beer?
They do in the summer, not in the winter.
Oh.
And the floors weren't slippery enough.
Right.
Two problems. And no one was smoking inside. Other than that, the food is authentic. So I have it. I love it. I've missed it for a year. I go home. I go to sleep. 4 a.m. this morning. I wake up. Puke it all out.
Oh, man.
I'm not Chinese anymore.
You can't
anymore.
Handle it. You're
My body couldn't. And when I puked, it was all. I don't want to gross out the listener.
Please.
But if it was like one giant chili pepper just came up my throat. And out my mouth.
Oh, so you eat the chili? You're supposed to eat those peppers?
Lots you of peppers just eat everything.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you eat around them. They're like
The red peppers you eat around, but these were like green beans that were like spicy. I don't know how to explain it.
I think it was the MSG.
Not the MSG.
All right.
It was. I've never had this feeling before. Like my throat was on fire. My whole body was just completely on fire. So
just because it's different, your stomach. So it's not a water situation. So they weren't importing Chinese water into this place, or
what I'm saying is, I might still be
situation.
Trying to figure out how to become American, but my stomach's already become American.
So your stomach is done with this podcast.
It is
no longer lost in America. It's an American stomach.
Which
all the 7-Eleven and McDonald's and iced coffees. Can I say one thing?
What?
This you've been drinking these iced coffees. You've been telling everyone about it.
Yeah.
I just went to fetch you one.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I do around here. And they told me they were out of ice.
Oh, yeah.
No ice. And I said, Mr. Turner Sparks needs ice.
Do you know who this man is?
I said I would wait. They told me two
minutes.
Do they
know we got to 50 episodes?
They I can't believe a big episode, and they made me wait and wait and wait over 10 minutes, and I got all mad at them, and they said, we told you, she said to me, she goes, I told you it was going to be a wait. I was like, you tell me 2 minutes. This Mr. Sparks is not going to be happy.
Mr. Sparks does not wait.
It's unbelievable. It's a big difference, 2 minutes and 10 minute wait. Let me tell you.
Who do you think I am, Bob? Come on, I'm Mr. Sparks.
Oh, if it was Bob, I would, that would have... It would be another, but yeah, so we made it.
We made it.
Take a bow.
And here's the last question before we get to our Lost in America this week. How many are we going to go? Because 50's big. I've been thinking about it.
Well, we got to wait till the rest of your body's adjusted. Your stomach's there. What about your legs?
I'm thinking money. Like 100 episodes is syndication. You're a TV man. You work in the Hollywood.
We don't make any TV shows that have been successful, at least.
Isn't that true? 100 gets you to syndication. So I feel like we at least got to do 100.
100? What is syndication in podcast world?
I don't know, but I'm sure by the time we get there,
this on a...
you know how they say like the first 150-year-old person's already been born, meaning that it's like a baby, but 150 years from now, they'll have the technology to keep them alive. Same thing
Ruby?
With podcasting.
Maybe it's Ruby Kaplan.
Maybe it
shout
is.
Out, first 150-year-old.
Maybe it is. The first syndicated podcast has already been started.
And this is it.
This is us.
You guys are on the ground floor.
Yes.
You're going to be seeing reruns of this shit forever.
We're going to be on in Japan.
Yeah. The locker room talk episodes, like when you see those really early Seinfelds and you're like,
yeah,
so
like, you're like Saved by the Bell when you come home from junior high.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Okay. So we get to...
Well, I think people might ask about the DNA test. Can we should fill them in real quick, real update.
Well, what's going on? Fill me in.
I thought I had a big breakthrough today. I found a picture...
We promised episode 50.
We lost the paperwork. We didn't get a chance to call Amazon up like we talked about last week. I found an old picture on my phone I took of the piece of paperwork with the password for your kit that I gave you.
Such a convoluted...
Yeah.
So you need a password to get in.
I was all excited. I was going to surprise you. I was going to do this on the air. I just tried to log in to get your results. And the password doesn't work. I don't know.
Really?
Don't know the situation. It doesn't. Technology. We got another.
Okay.
So I guess it's going to be episode 51, maybe.
I don't even know if we should promise that.
Yeah.
Let's say episode 100.
I mean, we know you're not 100% Chinese now. We've learned that much last night.
You're judging by my stomach. We know that. That's a little taste of of who I am. All right. Let's get to Lost in America.
Get to it.
All right, Cap. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Lost in America this week. Yeah. I'm going to get straight to it. I'm Mr. Environment. Everyone knows.
Everybody.
That's how people know me.
Yeah.
As Mr. Environment.
Mr. Alt-Middle Environment.
Yes. Right. I'm not in favor of littering. Anyone, if you ever heard that about me, it's false.
Are there people in favor of littering? Is that like a...
Well, that's what I'm about to get to. There are.
Okay.
America's so anti-littering, but except apparently, I need you to answer this for me, if you have cigarettes... Like, I've seen people walking around New York, they're smoking a cigarette, and in the middle of Fifth Avenue, you know how Trump can shoot a guy in the middle of Times Square and no one will care?
Fifth Avenue, I think.
Fifth Avenue? Well, then anybody can throw a cigarette, a piece of trash, on the ground. No one says anything, but if I was to just take an Arby's bag and throw it on the ground, everyone would be like, whoa, pick it up. But you can just have a cigarette, throw it on the ground. No one cares. What's going on?
Well, if you throw an Arby's bag on the ground, people are going to run to like see if there's any scraps because Arby's tastes so good that people want
to
get to see if there's any leftovers of that, a little horsey sauce. But it's a loophole. And I think it's one of the perks to smoking.
Is that it?
I think people liked, in their heart of hearts, they like to litter. You feel really bad whenever I litter sometimes.
People like to litter?
I live in a neighborhood that's like an industrial zone, so we have like no trash cans.
Yeah. There is something that feels good about littering. You're right.
Yeah. So sometimes you just have to like, you have like something, a straw thing, or you gotta do it when no one's looking, because like...
Yeah, just throw
on the
ground.
If you get busted littering, it's really the lowest thing. It's like getting busted like,
it's like
fiddling yourself.
I was going to say, it's like worse than the Jared Fogle, the Subway guy, with the porn.
I think that's the only thing lower. I think
kid porn?
Kid porn is here.
At the bottom, you're making up for all of our listeners.
Sorry. I thought episode 50 we had cameras in the studio. Why is this not being filmed?
Your hand is low.
My hand is low, yes.
Kitty fiddling's the worst.
Kitty fiddling's always the worst, no matter what we're talking about, any subjects.
Okay.
Kitty fiddling's the worst.
And then second worst is littering.
Yes.
And then above that's like murder.
But unlike kitty fiddling and probably murder, people, I think, do like to litter because it's just they don't like to carry. You don't want to have trash around you. So they want to. They can't do it. Cigarettes is the exception.
So cigarettes is your loophole to let you. You're actually, what you're doing right now is convincing me to
smoke,
start smoking.
So like, can you, Smoking, I'm assuming, is big in China, right?
Huge.
So what do people do with their cigarette butts there?
Well, yeah, they throw it on the ground too. But what I'm saying is everyone throws everything on the ground.
Yeah.
People, if you don't, people take a bag of trash and throw it in a river. They'll walk a mile to a river just to get it in.
If they're not going to push a girl in, they're going to throw it.
Yeah.
So it makes it extra dirty. That way she doesn't want to fall in the river.
Exactly. When I used to live downtown in Suzhou, these people would do that. They would walk to the end of the block. They go way out of their way, past like 10 trash cans. As I said, it's fun.
This is sort of making the right-wing argument against the environment for you, that in China they're throwing bags of trash in the river.
They do!
We're talking about.
Back me up on it, listeners.
So, okay, yes, because I don't smoke. I mean, my parents would have rather I like shoot tar heroin every day than smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, same with me. Yeah.
So, but I've and it drives me crazy because I have kids, and I'm surprised you noticed this, actually, because you don't have kids or a dog.
That I noticed the cigarettes?
Yeah, because I only notice this once you have a dog, and once you have kids who crawl around, you notice all the trash on the ground. And you really notice cigarettes because kids pick it up and they're like, it's like a fun little, like, I'm doing things with my hand again.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fun game.
It's a fun game. I've seen my kids try to eat a cigarette. They played like sword a cigarette. Like,
stick
it's a
butter, eat a cigarette. It's
yeah,
all...
They love playing with trash, all trash. Kids love it. My son played with a Corona bottle cap the other day. He's like, look at this cool cave I found. I'm like, I made a cave, and it was like a cave of bottle caps he found in there.
Nice.
So,
growing up.
Yeah, growing up, New York style. So I'm very sensitive to this, and yet I don't know what the right answer is. I did see somewhere that there was a recycling program someone had sent out a thing about, and nobody, I don't think it picked up any traction.
Recycling's out.
For cigarette butt recycling program.
Oh, really?
Not like
that's
recycling.
Definitely
I think like a collection thing like somewhere, but like I don't think anyone uses those, right?
You know what? It's good. The only way you can do anything with this is if somebody like makes a sculpture out of it, you know, and puts it in like Times Square or something. Some like cigarette butt sculpture that like raises awareness.
Billion dollar idea.
Because we could probably do this, and this is the kind of stuff that you would get a grant from the city to do.
Yeah.
You know, they give you 10 mil, you make the cigarette butt sculpture for like $20, and you pocket the 9.9 mil.
Fraud is what you're saying.
Yeah, baby.
I think it was a little Trump style. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Let's get on that billion dollar idea.
Ents
is an app.
Ents is an app. You can get it in the App Store. You can get it wherever apps are found. They're free. This app's free, and it's up to 5-minute recordings. But it's branching out now. People are using it for everything. People, Ents us questions for the podcast. We will play them on the podcast. Ikram, the boys upstairs, they've taught us how to do it. We got the technology down now. We'll play your question on the podcast. We've had people already writing in from England, from across the pond, saying they want to help you be a football coach, a soccer coach.
Yeah, we're the season's underway. We'll get to that next week, but we're gonna look for some tips on Ents, please.
That's Gary.
Send me some
Gary
drills.
Ents us.
Ents me some drills to run with the lads.
There we go
on the pitch.
That's it. All right, get Ents in the App Store. Let's get to our guest.
Yeah.
Podcast. We're back.
Yeah. Sorry, I got trail mix. I was looking for more
water. A little trail mix.
Where the hell's my water?
Unofficial sponsor.
Your water.
Water right there.
Oh.
That's
it was an off-brand trail mix, so I'm out there going to sponsor.
Are you bringing your own sponsor to the show?
Yeah, we asked our guests to bring potential sponsors.
That's a good move as a guest.
Yeah, bring
just
your
to
own
come
sponsor.
In with sponsors.
Yeah, you could be a sponsor guest. Show. That's a new idea.
Mm-hmm. That money comes directly to me, not to this podcast.
Everything you do.
I can't name them though, but they pay me to do this.
I had this idea that like sport. We were just talking sports off the air, and players, like if you're like an average NBA player, NFL player, but average, like you're never going to get Gatorade.
Yeah.
But if you just change your name to Gatorade or like Nike, or you could put like Bonobos.
I don't think you can do that legally.
What, you can. Ron Artest became Meta World Peace, right? He got World Peace on the back of his jersey.
Wait, but is that a company? I thought that was just something he wanted.
No, that's not a company.
See, it's not copyrighted. World Peace is not copyrighted.
What I'm saying is you could go really local. You could get like I don't know, like some deli in your neighborhood.
Sam's Rib Shack.
Yeah, and be
Sam's
like, pay me $100 a week, and I'll put your name on my back.
They do, but people do that.
If it's your name.
But they don't do it with their name. They do it in commercials. Like, you'll see, like, a baseball player who you're like, this guy doesn't play. And they'll be like, we got Reggie Fuckface here.
Yeah.
And he's telling you to come on down to Sam's Cadillac.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But if he just changed his name to Sam's Cadillac, and then even if he sucks, but if he's on, on ESPN that night, they're like, Reggie Miller had 10 points, Byron Scott 7 points, and Sam's Cadillac 3 points.
Yeah.
They just would keep saying it.
Do you think they would say it, or do you think they would
have to
stay away from it?
Chad Ochocinco. They had to say it.
But that's another thing.
At first they try not to, I remember.
But Ochocinco was just his jersey number.
Right.
I'm just saying, I might do that.
We'll talk to our lawyer about the copyright situation.
That'll be whenever I get my first comedy special, I'm just straight up changing my name.
What are you going to change it to?
Whatever company pays me the most.
Right.
Oh,
Turner Netflix.
And then I'll just
Turner Netflix.
I'll change it every time, every special.
The Turner Cable?
Yeah.
He didn't even have to.
No, yeah,
he
do it on TNT.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Bam. You don't have to change my name. So, yeah, we did the tour. We toured China a few years ago.
Yeah. What was that? That was 2016 or 15. 15.
I don't know. Probably 15, right? Right before I moved out of here.
Terror.
That was like
one of my last
tours.
Yeah, actually, you've only been here for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, beginning of 2016.
Okay, because it was right before I came.
Yeah, because I remember, I didn't believe it was going to come out, though. Everybody says that shit.
Oh yeah!
Everybody I meet go, I'm moving. Yeah. See you out there, and I never see him.
He seems so Chinese. How could he possibly?
Then you moved. I was like, holy shit, he meant.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. They took my business away. Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Really?
The ice cream trucks.
Oh yeah.
To the Mr. Softy, yeah.
The comedy club's still there.
You were killing the game. You should write a movie about a show about your reign as the Mr. Softy King.
I'm
in
writing
China.
A book about it now.
Uh-huh.
Just bring it straight to movie.
Bring it straight to movie.
Get on there.
All right, Cap, we're writing a movie. Yeah. I don't know how to write a movie, but I think like page one, you put your name.
You get final draft.
And then you get final draft. And then you just
writes
start
itself.
Typing. And then you're good.
You say hi.
I say hello.
Someone says hello. Yeah.
It was the summer of 2012,
That's
and the
it.
Streets in China were flooded with ice cream.
Yeah.
You can literally just do the Goodfellas.
I'll watch Goodfellas and like repurpose.
Yeah, okay.
Change
all right.
that line to that.
And you're good.
Yeah. Dude, all right.
I'm with you. I'm behind you. If you really want to write that, I would help.
Every time we have a guest, if they want her, they can write a page.
That's
keep
a good
building
idea.
It until we get to
this,
120.
Yeah, this film was written by, and then it's like 1,700 people.
Yeah,
I just want a fight scene. I just want a car chase and a fight scene, and there's ice cream.
An ice cream trucks
everywhere.
Chase is better.
Yes,
we can get that.
And the music is like
the music's playing during the chase. Yeah,
people
and kids are running after you.
People crowdfund money to write a script.
Yeah,
nobody's ever just crowdfunded the script. I don't want you to give me money. I want you to write a page.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think you should do that. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
Everybody has to write a page. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. So, all right. So then you're doing stand-up everywhere now. But here's what I wanted to talk about is foster care. You grew up in foster care. You talked about it on stage.
Yes.
It's hilarious how you
foster
talk about it
hilarious.
On stage.
Damn right. It better be hilarious. I'm like, I can't be up there making everybody sad.
So what was...
That's actually the process of doing that type of material. People get sad, and then you got to go, all right, let's just keep tweaking it, tweaking
it, tweaking
it.
Oh, yeah, the first time you try it.
Yeah, you got to be like, all right, and got it. You got to get them out of their own guilt.
Right.
Once they're out of their own guilt, you can make them laugh at anything.
The first time it's always like, like you want to get away from the aws.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you can use the aws. There's always like an aw, but you can change that aw to, because when they say aw, they're like, yeah, I feel sorry, but what the fuck is funny about that? And then once you hit them with the funny, it was like, I don't give a fuck about his childhood. Let's laugh. And then that's what it is.
What percentage of people don't know what foster care is? Because Cap and I were just talking about it.
I don't even know the percentage. I don't think they do a census of that. They'd be doesn't know what the fuck it is?
You would know, but by doing it on stage every
The difference between foster and adoption is foster's...
People get those two confused. Yeah, people I do get that. When you say foster care, they're like, oh, I know what that is. That's adoption and orphans and shit. And then you're like, no, orphans and all that stuff is a long-term thing. And then foster care is very temporary. It's actually just a temporary solution for until they are like either reconnect you with a family member or you get adopted by somebody. And in most of the cases, people just end up floating through the system, never getting either or.
Is it but like, can you lead to long term? Like, if like I remember my wife wanted to foster a puppy once, a dog, rescue. And I was like, we're not doing
right?
That.
Look, he hit me with that. My wife wanted to foster a puppy.
Yeah, she wanted to foster a dog. Because
they're more cuter.
And I was like, we're not doing that because you're going to
be back in America.
Because you're going to fall in love with this dog and we're going to keep it forever. I know that. So I don't know. Does that happen with people? Or
well,
not?
You got to adopt it. And that happens. People either they become foster parents. And then what happens is sometimes they'll fight to adopt that kid if the parent if the parent wants to give up his rights. But if the parent doesn't want to give up the rights, they usually are just in the system until the parent gets their shit together.
Wait, oh, so it's like
let me borrow your kid until you stop fucking up.
Oh,
it's like a timeout. It's like
it's
supposed to be like, what is it? Negative reinforcement. That's when you take something away.
Yes.
So it's like negative reinforcement is like you're doing drugs and being negligent. I'm going to remove your child from you until you decide to get your shit together. And then most of them don't get their shit together.
Okay.
I'm going to smoke more crack now that I don't, I don't have to worry about a baby.
I'm saying if I want to get out of my, if I want my kids to be taken away from me for like 2 years, so I get a timeout from them.
Yeah.
I could like start smoking crack,
start
and then
smoking
people are gonna take my kids away.
Start being negligent,
ooh,
and then they'll be
idea,
like,
Randy.
"Good, my kids are gone. Now I can really do it."
I didn't even know it was that because basically, adoption is like you give up your kid.
Adoption is you give up your kid because you know that you're an unfit parent, and usually in foster care, the state forces you to do it. Like usually, what happens is somebody is alerted, either somebody at a school is alerted. Or somebody in the neighborhood, and then they tell, they'll call child services, and child services will come in, they'll evaluate the situation, and then they'll remove the kid if they figure that, if they find that it's unfit. And then I'll put the parents in these programs, like if the parent is homeless, which is most of the cases, they'll try to provide housing first, and then if they can't provide housing, they put the kids in foster care, and then you'll stay in the shelter, and then they'll put you on, like, a work-ready program and stuff like that. So they're always trying to help, but there's always get lost in translation. It always gets lost in somewhere in that process.
And how does it get lost?
It gets lost because either what happens is you get a shitty social worker who doesn't do their job all the way. You either get foster parents who are unfit. They're also abusive. They're not really up to par, so they end up, you know, scarring a kid and then stuff like that.
Usually in the movies, that's how it is.
Yeah, or like sometimes the parent will come back into life and then get the kid and then fuck up again, then the kid goes back, and this is like a whole thing. Like, I was in it for a while. I bounced around a lot, so I got to experience the other part, the longer
the
part.
That.
Yeah.
How old were you when you went in it?
I believe I went in at 7.
Oh, seven. Oh,
7
okay.
years old, yeah.
You grew up in Philly? Or
grew up in Philadelphia. You from Philly, right?
Yeah, well, I'm from Allentown.
I know where Allentown is. Y'all got Dorney Park.
Yes, that's foster parents take you there.
Actually, yeah. I've been to Dorney Park a bunch of times.
That's our claim to fame.
What is Dorney Park?
It's an amusement park, big amusement park.
It's an amusement park, but somehow their mascots are the Peanuts characters.
Yeah, and
it's
really?
Weird. It's
and
like, watch Charlie Brown.
And it's
they
like
pay
they
for
signed
that?
like a lifetime deal, I guess, because like they've had them forever, and I take my kids there now, and they don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
And they still kind of like, they get scared of like some of the characters, but then they sort of like Snoopy.
They all know who Snoopy is. They know who Baron is.
They don't know his name. They just think it's like a dog.
Yeah, they're like,
oh, really?
The bird.
Like,
yeah.
Why would a kid today know what Charlie Brown is? It's like,
is it not on TV anymore?
Charlie Brown, they still do the Christmas specials once in a while, but that's more for adults who love that stuff. Kids don't care.
So they really need to get there. They used to have the Berenstain Bears back in the day at Dorney Park, and then
when
I was a kid. And
it was the bear. How old are you?
I'm 40. I'm about to be 40.
Okay, I'm 30, but I do remember the tail end of Berenstain Bears, and then
the big decision.
We're
changing to we're updating it to the Snoopy.
Yeah,
Brown.
We need Snoopy and Charlie Brown, and then Six Flags was always the Tiny Toon characters.
Oh yeah, they have a giant dinosaur thing now. You gotta check it out.
What the fuck is they got a dinosaur? Like dinosaur and Snoopy don't go together.
Not at all. It's not.
They have a in China.
They have water park too.
They had a dinosaur land in like the town. Every town. Have you noticed like they discovered dinosaurs everywhere?
Yeah. Well, I know
every town needs a dinosaur. I'm starting to think dinosaurs are fake. Yeah. Like, oh, we got a dinosaur. This is Lebanon. Yeah. Why the fuck is there a dinosaur?
Yeah. And like, yeah, in China, I know I've read the dinosaur books to Teddy, and they found a lot of bones in dinosaurs.
Yeah, and so then in one of those towns, they just made this whole like amusement park.
And like, off a dinosaur
bone?
But
is it with the dinosaurs that make noise, like the ones that are like robotic? Like
Some big stupid robot, like paper mache.
Yeah, and they terrify all the little kids, and yet you bring the little kids there.
You got to feel like a shitty place if you don't have any dinosaur remains.
Yeah, like why?
But everybody got dinosaurs.
Even
New Jersey.
We're too good for you to live there.
Yeah,
the dinosaurs like, oh, they just didn't
die. Like,
there.
We're not
they
staying in Cleveland.
Through.
Yeah, fuck out of here.
I'm not gonna say Detroit.
If LeBron left.
So what I did, I was interested because what we do on this podcast is we look at a difference. If we could compare something in America to how it works in China or abroad or whatever. So I looked up I did research on foster care in China.
You did research? I didn't do no research.
How about that?
Yeah.
Hear that?
I mean, there should be plenty of foster care in China. It's a billion.
Yeah, a lot of people.
There's not a lot, actually.
There's not a lot of people anymore?
Well, they're only allowed to have one kid
each. There's still a lot of people.
You're only allowed to have one child. It's easier to be a good parent. I mean,
you're only allowed to have one child.
I thought it was two now.
It's two. Right. It's recently become two. But also, so many of the kids that get put up for adoption either get picked up by like Americans, everyone adopts girls, you know, or now Chinese people who can't have kids.
Season 3, I'm doing
that. Are adopting Chinese kids.
Oh, wow. You know? Okay.
And so there's actually, this is like from a couple years ago, but it said there's only 30,000 foster care kids in China.
That is not a lot at all.
A country of a billion.
A country of 1.5 billion or whatever.
That's 1%. That's 3%.
No, that's like a 0.00.
We don't do math on this podcast.
No, because 300,000 or some shit.
Yeah, that's a tiny amount. 1.5 million.
Do you know anybody when you were, like, you don't know anybody who was there?
I don't know anybody, but here's what I want. So I also figured out what the rules are. The government, like, regulates it pretty well. I want to see how this relates to America. Mm-hmm. So it says there can be no more than 2 foster care children in one home.
Never. That'll never happen in America. That's how some people make their money.
How?
There are people There are foster parents with vans of kids. There are church. There are people
what?
Who are
the kids
no seriously. There are freaking church pastors and families who just get foster kids, and they got like 12 foster kids because they get money
who
off.
Who pays
of them
the money? The
state does.
The state pays you money.
You get paid money
to
have
kid
a kid,
in. Like for their expenses.
You get an actual paycheck, and then you get
good job.
You get a stipend for the kid. So you get a stipend to cover your expenses that you, like, food and all that stuff. You get welfare.
But is that enough to pay for the kid and you still can make money off of it, off the side?
If you have a lot of them, but even some people, it don't matter. Like, they're taking that stipend and spending it on themselves and then giving the kid hand-me-downs.
That's so true with, like, the church pastors. Because, like, there's churches that we think of churches as, like, a big church.
Yeah.
But then there's some churches that it's just, like, in the back of, like, the AMPM or, like, the...
And then they got big-ass vans of, like, they got, like, a whole team. They got 20 foster kids. And they getting that guap.
It's such a scam.
Why didn't I do this? What?
And then
fostering dogs. And the state doesn't give any money for fostering a multi-poo.
What did you, in your, how many foster?
I've never been in a foster home where there was more than like, I think the max was probably like 3 or 4. But I've seen places and been to places, like visited, where people had like multiple kids. But usually if I was in a foster home, it was me, maybe somebody else, and they got another person. And it was like a single parent mom who had like her own kids and stuff. I've been in a house where they had multiple kids, but the max they ever had were like maybe like 3 or 4.
I think you can be a single foster.
Like, yeah. And that's
do you
the thing.
More money, or do you,
I don't.
It's
there's
more
not.
Work if it's just
oh,
money.
You mean if you're a single parent?
Yeah, you can be a single parent.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's
that seems
if that factors in there.
Same sex foster,
but they allow you to do it, right?
Yeah, I think now certain places may do same sex fostering, but it all depends on
the state,
where you're
right.
at. Yeah,
yeah,
the state. That's certain places that be like, nope, not at all. All
right, what?
Because they do same sex adoption.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you be a single parent and adopt?
Yeah, you can be a single parent. There's a lot of people fighting for that.
Yeah?
Fighting for single parent adoption rights.
Actually, wait a second. I have a friend who did. Yeah, my friend's mom. My friend's adopted. Her and her sister adopted, and it's just a mom.
Shout out.
But I feel like just a dad might be a little harder than just a mom.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I
they
think
might be like,
I think the government's
especially
like,
if you have a van.
Yeah, you got a van
full of kids.
They're like, you're trying to import something, mine, stupid.
Yeah,
man,
you definitely have to dress right for that interview.
Man. Okay, you want the next rule they have?
Yeah, next rule, please.
Okay, the homes must have no children of their own under the age of 6.
Nope, that doesn't work over here. I've been in places where they had newborns.
Wow. Why do you
I live with a pastor. Like, was he a pastor? I don't know if he was a pastor, but I think he was like a deacon, and he played the bass for
they
the church.
He always played guitar.
I don't know.
He always played like
some
guitar.
What is that?
A deacon is like the you watch Game of Thrones.
It's like a pastor with a beard.
You don't watch Game of Thrones?
No, I have to be contrary.
Oh, okay, so because if I just said Game of Thrones and you say yeah, I'm like the hand of the king or the queen.
Our
so
audience probably does.
Yeah, so the deacon audience, is the hand of the pastor. So he's like the pastor's right-hand dude. And if the pastor says some shit, he'd be like, yup, amen.
Oh, that's like you. You're Bob's deacon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
De Niro.
Yeah, you know, they try to keep all the scandals under the carpet. They even make sure that, yeah. That's... Yeah,
they're no comment.
Blue shirt is our deacon.
They're the Kevin Love to the team's LeBron.
They know where the bodies are buried.
Yeah.
The
Kevin Love.
Yeah.
They make everything go away.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then you played bass?
And then he played bass, but he had like a 2-year-old, and then he had a newborn, and then it was me, and then I think they got one more kid.
I believe they have a 2-year-old and a newborn. Like, that's not enough of a challenge. You got to, like,
seriously.
And how old are you when they brought at this point?
I was still in high school.
Oh, so maybe they thought you could be, like, be a babysitter or something?
I wasn't babysitting no damn kids. I was always at the house. I couldn't wait to escape.
Yeah.
I was always at the house, like, even on shitty days, it'd be pouring down raining. Where you going? I'll be back. And I would leave at, like, 8 o'clock and then come back home at, like, 10 at night.
Wow. Yeah.
Who's going to hang out with a baby and a 2-year-old?
It's like, yeah.
You were learning bass from the deacon?
I was out, man. He was a shitty dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How long were you there?
I was there maybe, like, a year and a half. Because I think I started high school there. So, if I'm not mistaken, did I start high school there? Yeah. I started high school there. So, I did 9th grade to 10th grade, and then I moved somewhere else. Like, 9th grade and then 10th grade. And then the summer of 10th grade, I'm going to move somewhere else.
You know what it might be? Do these seem like good ideas to you, these ones I'm going
I through? Don't know.
There's a couple more.
I think they're actually setting it up for kids to be in a comfortable living situation where it won't be overbearing and they won't get pushed to the side. Where in America, they'd be like, hey, you got an extra space in your house. It don't even have to be a room. It can be a nook.
Yeah.
And they're like, we take that. We'll give you it.
And it's really okay.
More security checks and all that stuff go into adopting a pet than it does to be a foster parent. It is so much harder to adopt an animal. Like, the paperwork to adopt a dog is, like, so much easier. I mean, so much harder than it is to, like, get a kid. I've seen alcoholics be foster parents. I've seen people with obvious drug addictions.
Right. But there's got to be like some good people too, right?
Yeah, no, there's good people in everything.
Yeah, yeah, but those are less funny.
Yeah, there's good people in everything, man.
All right, two more.
You guys should adopt a kid, foster. That'll help with her
get
the dog walking job.
How much? How much do they pay?
That's some money from the church.
Yeah,
that'd be good for the pod.
I could become a deacon.
Get a Chinese kid.
Mm-hmm. Play bass. All right, here's the next. Oh, they definitely. I could not see this being a rule in America.
Mm.
They have the parents have to have received at least 9 years of formal education.
Mm-mm.
No.
Well, 9 years, does that include, like, you mean go to 8th grade?
Yeah, 9 years is like.
Yeah, that's actually not a lot.
Yeah, high school.
Yeah.
That was like.
Does pre-K count? Where do we start the list?
That means you had to drop out in high school.
If you drop out after 9th grade, you're fine.
I mean, most people in America probably clear that hurdle.
All right.
But I think that was more of like an age thing because. If you're a foster parent, back in the 90s, even the early 2000s, if you was a foster parent, that means you were well into, like, what, your late 20s, early 30s? So they're like, yeah, back then it was good enough to not go to college.
Yeah.
Or graduate high school. It was like high school, it's my school.
Yeah, well, in China as well.
Yeah,
yeah. This guy, like, the older generation didn't go, like, barely anyone went to college up
high
until, like,
the
90s.
What's the point of college when you can drop out and make this big foster care bank? I mean, you get 12 kids and...
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're trying to
block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like David Stern over there with their age rule. Mm-hmm.
Here's,
rules.
Here's the last one. Foster parents must have an average income for the area in which they live.
For the area?
Meaning they figure out what neighborhood you're in, right. You live in.
Now, that'd be hard to do in America just because of, like, if you're in a city like New York and Philly, they don't know the income because it's no property tax because you're living in an apartment.
Yeah.
You know? So they wouldn't be able to do that.
That's true.
They can't even do that. They try to do that with schools, but that's why some schools get shitty funding. Because what is it called? The area, like, whatever the income is from the area that funds the local school, so they wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, what if, like, you live in an apartment in a neighborhood where it's mostly, like, big houses,
man,
but you live in, like, the one apartment complex, you're going to have a lower income than everyone who's in the house.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean, like, you're a deadbeat.
But you could be, like, broke, and you'll meet the requirement because, oh, no, the other way around.
But I guess that's different in China because everybody lives in those apartment complexes.
Everyone lives in apartments. There's no houses.
And I guess the government knows exactly how much everyone makes, or...
Because they got their eye on them. They see their checks.
The other thing is, I think it's relatively new, this foster care thing. So probably what they did is they saw what happened in America.
And it was like, let's make that a little better.
They inspired.
When did you get out?
Up and down, just mixture. I went in at 7, got out at like 21. I aged out at 21.
Yeah?
Because you get, you can actually discharge yourself at the, you can get emancipated at 16. But you got to get, consent from your foster parents or your biological parents if they're still alive. And then you can discharge yourself at 18. But you have the option to stay in if you get, like, what's it called? Like, supervised independent living, where they give you your own apartment. They pay the bill, but the agreement is you got to maintain a job and go to college. And you can live there until the age of 21.
That's not
bad. And I didn't really want to go to college, but I did it. I went to a community college and I stretched that shit out. I was taking like two classes a semester and breaking it up. I went to a community college for like 3 years.
What school?
Community College of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't want to go. I was just like.
And you were doing comedy?
Two here. No, I didn't start doing comedy until late. I didn't start doing comedy until like 22.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was already out.
Yeah.
And did you have your biological parents? Did you ever reconnect?
Yeah, I know my mom. My mom has always been around. We're cool. We're friendly.
All
right. Yeah. My daddy's been hitting me up. We're all cordial. I got my own life. I try to be like, hey, what's up?
Good.
Me and my mom are cool. Me and my dad are okay. I don't really know him like that. And I'm at that age where you're just like, I don't want to get to know strangers.
We grew up with other different people, kind of, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, eh. And I think he knows that he may be feeling more insecure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I don't have nothing to prove. He do.
What about the deacon?
Are there foster parents you had along the way that you're tight with, that you stay in touch with?
I don't stay in touch with anybody. That was kind of like I'm terrible at keeping contact, and people sometimes like take it as, oh, you playing me. I was like, no, I'm used to that. I'm used to meeting somebody and then never seeing them again.
Okay.
So I'm very used to being like, hey, we shared this spirit experience. Now, see ya. So I don't have contact with any of my foster parents. Yeah, but they are old anyway. I know one person
from high school still.
Yeah, I don't.
Really?
Yeah. And he lives here. It's because people who live in New York,
stay in touch with.
Because is it
Weber?
No, Weber went to college with Kaplan and my brother.
Oh, okay, cool.
Shout out.
Yeah, Weber did not go to Jesuit high school.
No, I was in high school in California.
Oh, I'm like, Jesuit. That sounds gross.
That's deacons.
A weird name.
It's a Catholic school.
Jill.
A lot of fans.
No, you won't have deacons if it's Catholic. Oh. Deacons are only like Baptists.
Oh.
Deacons do a lot of sweating.
We had brothers.
Yeah, you have brothers.
And priests. They do a lot of sweating?
Yeah.
Is this based off the one bass player?
No, deacons be like.
Where the perspirant.
Oh, because they get all worked up during their
service. Yeah. They be there.
They pat themselves on the head. They always have sweat towels.
Yeah, they have sweat towels, or then they got to pat the priest down.
That's part of the gig.
They got to pat the preacher down.
That's
They gotta like put his robe on him sometimes.
Deacon Kaplan.
Yeah, Deacon.
Do
name.
That shit, Deacon Kaplan.
Was Deacon Jones,
Deacon Jones was a defensive lineman.
Yeah,
in the '70s.
He wasn't no deacon though. That was his name, Deacon Jones.
He probably had a sweat towel.
Yeah. Uh huh.
I don't know if he played bass. Well, so how about the China tour? How'd you like it?
Dude, I had a great time. I was nervous at first. I thought it was a trick. I'm like, these white boys tricked me into coming into China.
Yeah.
I'd be stuck at the airport.
So you never thought you were going to go to China and then they contacted you?
Yeah, dude, it was great. I had a good time, man. The shows were fun.
That first one was in Hangzhou.
First one was in Hangzhou at Bookworm.
Oh, no, that was in Chengdu. You went to the
Chengdu.
Bookworm. I met up with you in Hangzhou.
Yeah, I did the Bookworm. That shit was fun, and then we went to you met up with me, and then we did the joint in that little path in that little hideaway.
Do you know what happened to that place?
What happened?
Burned down.
Oh, I felt it though. For some reason, I felt that coming. I was like,
"Why did it burn down?"
Because they had a. I don't know if you remember, they had a fireplace in the corner.
Yeah.
Somebody lit it, like the fire, mm-hmm. and then they had no screen or anything, and the floor was all like old wood.
Yeah.
And it was old, like they took like an old Chinese house and kind of like redid it into like this cool swanky bar.
Right.
But so they still had the original wood floors. Yeah. It just caught and went up in like 5 minutes.
Dude, we performed next to the fireplace, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I
was like, this place, it just had this, it was fun. But it just had this weird vibe to it where I was like,
well, everybody
this ain't
was
going
like
to...
wildly drunk and like,
yeah.
on a bunch of drugs.
It felt like it had that like
Cap,
that feeling of like an orgy
out.
Can happen at any moment.
Yes.
It had that orgy feeling where you're just like, oh, this can turn into a fucking party.
It's
very
always, this ever happened to you where like you're doing a show and you forget that when you're on stage or you're running the show as I was, you're the only person in the room who's not drinking.
Yeah.
And so when the show ends, everyone's had like an hour and a half of pure boozing.
Yeah.
And then everyone's wasted. You realize right when it ends.
You're the only sober one. You're like surrounded by a bunch of hyenas.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, how the fuck am I going to get out of this? And you're like, I'm
going
to
that was that one. Night.
That's
all. Right when it ended, everyone just comes up and you're like, great show. And then immediately, oh wait, these people are
fucked. Oh, they were
hammered.
Fucked. I met so many people out there. We did that one. Then the third one was...
Probably in Suzhou, where I lived. Right?
Suzhou, where you live. That's the comedy club.
Yeah, and then Shanghai also is a comedy
and then,
club.
Yeah, that one's a comedy club in Shanghai. And then the other one in the back where I did the shots. That was fun.
That was Suzhou or Beijing, maybe?
No, I know Beijing. That was Suzhou, I think.
Okay, yeah.
No,
oh,
what's
yeah.
the one with the building with the hole and shit in it? We were at that restaurant, and you were pointing out this building. It was like, and you explained to me that they built holes in the building so ghosts and shit can go through, like spirits.
Oh, yeah. That
and
was,
I was like, bullshit.
Suzhou. Yeah.
Suzhou.
There
okay,
one in Suzhou,
okay.
one in Shanghai. Yeah. But Suzhou's where you bought everybody shots.
That was fun, man.
I remember. You bought the whole crowd shots.
The whole
right?
crowd.
Still talking about it.
That shit was lit. They weren't talking about it.
No, just booze. Now it's like the best thing to do to get remembered.
Dude, that shit was, it was lit. That's what the people say over here. It was very fun. And then Bookworm ended it, right?
In Beijing.
Lit.
That's a new term. Because I had to relearn all these terms when I came back.
Dude, man. How old are you?
35.
Then don't fucking worry about it. I don't. At this point, I'm like, who the hell am I trying to talk to with this language? Only molesters stay up on their local slang. You're just like, hey, you want to get lit?
Weber's very up on the lingo.
Oh, but he has to. He's a writer.
Well, writers and child molesters.
Yeah. Writers and child molesters have to be up on their lingo. China tour was great, man. Thank you for the experience, sir. Sorry, I'm eating.
Back.
Yeah, if I get invited back home, I want to go back.
Yeah, dude.
I had a great time, man.
All right, well.
And you're going to get your new up to Myanmar, which is sounds like a great place to play soon.
Oh, yeah. I'm going back. I'm going doing a full Asia tour in January.
Okay.
I'm going Vietnam, China, Myanmar, which now is like a civil war going on
it's
or something.
A bit of a,
you're going
to
go there?
They need to laugh.
You need ethnic cleansing. Mm-hmm. Good way to cure it all. It's a little bit of laughter.
That is hilarious.
Well, it may be our last time seeing you. Let me go over there. So.
I know. This is going to be it.
Don't start there. End there.
What's get your t-shirts printed up. Get your R.I.P. Turner shirts. Yeah. You got to send us a good picture.
If that'd be a great name for
you end up lost
that's
in
the
EMR.
Name of the tour, the R.I.P. Turner tour.
Yeah.
Season-ending cliffhanger to this season of the pod.
I died.
You end up missing.
Genocide.
Literally lost.
Forever.
Just see you. We should start. I think people should do that when they travel. Just post a picture of themselves like, hey, I'm getting ready to start traveling. Here's a picture to put on some t-shirts if something happened.
I'll record a couple last podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always should be working on your last. You should already be like,
that's like the video message you leave for your kid. You're off to war.
When like ISIS is about to chop
your
head off.
When you grow up and you grow up.
I think those dads who went off to war, they didn't die. They just left. It's like, I ain't going back home.
Oh, dude, I've been to Vietnam.
Some Vietnamese hookers and they're just
I've been to Vietnam to do comedy. They're still there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm dead.
You see, like, 70-year-old white guys who are like, you've been here since the war.
Yeah. The war's over? No, we're just
sorry, he's dead. Hi, he's dead.
Philippines, too. They got him there.
Really?
That's even longer.
Dude, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So, we're going to do the news.
All right, let's do the news.
All right, before we do that, anything, what do you got coming up? You got shows?
When does this air?
Next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday. I'm in New York all of this, all of the rest of this month, so, go to my website, MonroeMartinComedy.com. I got my dates up there. I post my dates on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, which is all Monroe Martin III, but it's Monroe Martin III.
Nice.
Yeah, so follow those.
Wait, you tour everywhere, right, around the United States?
Yeah, I've been everywhere, man.
You? Because I came back like right after right before the election.
Yeah.
Not to get too political.
Oh, man, I definitely slowed it down after Trump wins because I don't want to. Right now, it's also the perfect time to be doing the road as a black comic, but also, like, you got to just be a little cautious because people are open about their president. And if you go up there and start talking about Trump, they will physically fuck you up, try to fight you.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah.
You had anything happen?
Nah, I can beat a lot of people.
Yeah. After you, man.
I'm cool. I try to walk away. But, sorry. But, yeah, but right now is a good time because you got those people who are open about it, and then you got people who are so hurt by it that they just want to laugh at it, so they'll go with this desperate, like, please make fun of it so I know I'm not alone.
Yeah, but I like it's also like if you I mean, I haven't done much outside the Northeast in the last whatever 6 months or
whatever. Yeah,
but it seems like people are also there's a sense of just like depressed about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like sometimes
you
bring it up and everyone's like, ugh.
Yeah, those usually are white people. They're the only
100%
ones
white people.
They're the only ones that are really depressed about the way this shit turned out.
Yeah.
We're like, we knew that.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask. Did you see it coming from
shit
touring?
Was bad before. I mean,
Did I see it coming from touring? No.
I
don't know much about politics, but I truly thought Hillary was going to win, and then somebody broke it down to me. They were like, no, that's why they chose her, because they knew she wasn't going to be Trump, because if Bernie would have won the Democratic
party,
then he would have definitely beat Trump. So they were like, nope.
This is
the second time Hillary lost to first ever. She lost against Obama, who, you know.
One had ever heard of Obama like a
year
before.
No one thought there could be a black president, and then Hillary proved
it good.
And then
she lost to
a crazy person. No one thought a crazy lunatic could be president.
And then she lost to a reality star. Like, that's what he is.
He's a reality star, yeah.
He's more of a reality star than a businessman.
On paper, those should be the two easiest people to beat.
It's
ridiculous.
It's crazy, but certain places you go, like when you go to the places who voted for him, believe it or not, they're the best places to perform at.
Because those people don't come out to your shows, right?
It's not even that those, but yet those people don't really come out to the shows. But when they do, I feel like conservatives are so comfortable with making fun of everybody.
Yeah,
they don't give a fuck. Give a shit.
Yeah.
They only talk about being PC. Only people that argue PC is super liberals.
Yeah,
but conservatives, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, everybody's getting made fun of, you know? But
plus, those, they won. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, super liberals. Those super liberals are like, no, don't talk about that. It's too, everything is too soon with, like, super liberals.
Yeah.
And it's just like, do something instead of complain. Like, start a foundation or something.
Yeah, don't go to a comedy club and groan.
Those people annoy me. I always just get, like, when people go, when people, like, start to get on each other and they're like, don't make fun of that, I'll go, oh, do you run, like, any charities, any foundations? Are you giving back directly? Well, no, shut the fuck up. I remember, you're not doing anything.
Yeah, that show we did
change.
A few
yeah.
weeks ago, it was, like, the day after Charlottesville.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking in the back about like, tiki torches and stuff.
And then I went straight up
on
the
stage and started talking about it, and there were so many people who were like, oh.
And it's like, but what is it like? I feel like, when am I supposed to talk to about it? When everybody's comfortable with it, and then when everybody's comfortable with it, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to talk about it when this shit is uncomfortable.
I'm still shaking, but I used to love tiki torches. Like, I used to
oh, you can't buy a tiki torch no more.
My old
you look like the primary dude. If I see you with a tiki torch, I'm
well,
like, he's racist.
Dude.
I gotta come out with my cap. I'm wearing polo today. So,
but it's the way he got the cargo shorts on with the goddamn Lacoste shirt.
Those guys, they culturally appropriated tiki torches.
Oh my god,
for white people,
dude, man.
Because we had already taken them from Hawaii.
White people can't buy rope no more. Tiki torches. White people, I never.
White sheets are ruined.
They painted us into a corner, man.
Exactly. Y'all can't buy. I'm sorry,
can't
man.
Can't do anything.
Could buy it online at least.
It's
yeah.
you put it on an Amazon cart of tiki torches, ropes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to
they
jail.
Just like send you.
Yeah. Oh, they definitely will start looking
that's
like.
That's the new, like, you know how when people get flagged when they buy like a
Sudafed,
fertilizer
yes.
and all that stuff to make like a bomb, whatever. Yeah. Now it's just tiki torches.
Now tiki torches. You're going to get a survey. What are you planning on doing? Are you having a luau? But you got to talk about things when they're uncomfortable. The only important thing is you gotta find the funny in it quick. And that's the thing. Yeah. Like, if you can't find the funny in it, then there's no point in saying it. You got to find out what's interesting and what's funny about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that just go on stage, and they're so eager to talk about it, but they don't even have a genuine angle yet.
Kind of need a joke.
You're like, what's your angle? I try to not talk about shit unless I have an angle.
Yeah.
And there's, like, things that happen now I'm just like, it didn't move me. I don't feel compelled to really speak about it, so I'm not going to joke about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember somebody said to me, they were like, some comic, they're like, I don't want to make them laugh. I want to make them think.
Nah, be
and
a
I was
fucking
like, well,
teacher.
Comedy.
Yeah, be a
about
teacher.
Making them laugh.
Yeah. That's at the end of the day, you can say whatever the fuck you want. You can go up there and isolate an entire race of people and call everybody racist slurs, but if it's funny, then it's like, all right. That was like the whole, what is it, the dude from Seinfeld thing?
Oh, Kramer.
He wasn't funny.
He had no angle.
If
he
it was just like
throwing the N-word around on stage.
Because you can see the audience like, okay,
yeah.
Where's the joke? He's a nigger, but punchline is like, oh, he's just racist.
Well, also, you're on a comedy stage or in the Laugh Factory. Right. Like,
because they let if you listen,
the joke.
If you watch,
he was a comic until that happened.
I don't know if he was.
He started off as a comic.
Yeah,
he clearly was out of practice.
He's like, when I started off, this was okay. This flew. I don't know what's wrong here, but
you can see it in the audience. Like, the audience laughed the first two times he said it. And they was like, yeah.
Right.
And then somebody was like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
By the third one.
Out.
Yeah, they was like, holy shit, this isn't a comedy show.
Yeah.
There's no punchline.
We'll get him on the pod to discuss.
Right. Well, yeah, we'll get Kramer on. Episode 100. We'll get Kramer and talk about it. All right, let's get to the news.
Yeah.
Get to the news.
Story of the week. This comes to us from the Shanghaiest.
My favorite.
In Shanghai.
Oh, you're doing Chinese news.
We're doing world news.
It comes from all around the world.
It's like BBC.
Chinese.
BBC.
We are the BBC of podcasting. Yeah. Chinese woman gives birth on the street, picks up her newborn baby and groceries, and walks back home.
Sounds like a G.
She's a G. Yeah.
That sounds like a G thing to do.
What does that mean?
It's like
a gangster.
Oh.
No, you really are super
He's
Jewish.
Got a tiki torch.
They don't got no tiki torch. He got it for mosquitoes. That's the only reason.
Yeah. Oh.
What's
okay.
a G?
Well, I didn't know that was. So that is a thing to do. Like that's a. Is that?
I don't know. That's just super gangster.
That's just like a hardcore move.
To squat down.
Had a baby. There's a video we can put on our website. She had a baby on the street. She was walking home. Felt she was gonna have a baby. Felt her water break. Right. These guys came out from a shop. They put a piece of cardboard underneath her.
All right.
She had the kid. Picked up the kid and kept walking home.
Was she standing up the whole time?
No, she sat down on the cardboard.
And has she written like a long like blog about it?
No.
Because
no.
All right.
No.
So because that's if it was a white woman.
That's what a white like, woman would have been like, how it changed her life.
This would have been a how I changed my life thing. And yeah. It would be this birth story. White women are really
she'd
into birth
stories.
She'd
be on The
stories.
View this right
This would have yeah. won yeah. some sort of like Emmy.
Yeah, it'd she'd be so mad because her doula or midwife that she's hired for this like natural birth thing wasn't around.
Yeah, you're
and,
right.
Like, she did it without her.
I but, had like, to do it myself.
Not even in a bathtub.
She named the baby after the street it was born on.
Yeah.
And it shows you, like, because when Teddy was born, we did, like, classes on birthing, which I think is another really white thing to do.
Oh, you got a kid?
Yeah, I have two.
Oh, wow.
Second time
look
around,
at
you don't
have
time with that shit because you're like.
You don't need to be a foster parent. You got your hands.
Yeah, but
full.
I'm telling I can use extra money. So, so you know, ka-ching, billion-dollar idea. Just bring some kids over. And we'll stick them in the. We have like I have a nice bathroom actually. It's got a view.
Who
does that?
Stick them in the closet.
Stick them in the bathroom. Got a view with a window.
There you go.
Trying to find a place.
Hilarious.
So yeah, I don't know, but birth.
So what'd you guys do to prepare for for Teddy?
We did like birthing class. We'd go and you have to like this. I'm
sure that's not cheap.
No, yeah, that cost money. We had like a doula.
You
we
did Lamaze.
It was not. Look, I feel
I
like Lamaze is like out. That's like
that's,
yeah, that's like what my parents did, like breathing or like stretching or what do they do? I don't know.
Are any of y'all parents are alive? Like your parents or her parents?
Yeah, my parents are. Both our parents. All our
she
parents.
She couldn't just ask. You had to pay somebody to teach you how to give birth because it went to your mom.
Yeah, you could have gone to a
how
street.
How you doing? She was like, open them legs up.
She just like.
She went, open them legs. Yeah, this had to push.
Yeah, get a piece of cardboard.
In New York, it's very like trendy to have a natural birth, and so you take classes about it, and you do all these things. And in China, you just walk down the street, and
it's
a baby
great.
Falls out, and you go get your groceries.
Well, it's also.
And it's hard to carry your groceries. I can't even imagine.
Yeah,
you had a natural
money.
Birth?
No, and then we didn't even have one. We had complicated. It didn't even work out.
Plus, you're saving money. If you thought Obamacare was cheap, this is just a piece of cardboard.
Yeah,
because
having a if you walked into an American hospital and the baby fell out in the waiting room, you'd get like a $10,000 bill.
So, yeah.
But if you do it outside,
they'd be like, you better take that baby on the other side of them doors.
In the video, you know, there's a guy with like a welding mask, like welding next to her. He just lifts up the mask and then goes and helps her and then goes back to welding.
That is hilarious.
Does he take insurance, that guy?
I'm just sitting there. But that's like the Chinese. Y'all just, they just work.
They just get it done.
Just get back to work.
They were working in the rain that day when I was in China, and they were building the skyscraper, and they was pouring down rain, and they're out there drilling and shit.
Yeah, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, they're like, we don't give a fuck. Yeah. Oh, somebody had a baby. Let's help them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wipe their hands.
Back to work.
To work. Mm-hmm.
Next story. This comes from NBC New York, ruin all over the world. A security guard named Larry Brooks stole $100,000 in cash in his first day on the job at Cash Vault and Transport Company in New Jersey.
In Connecticut,
good
I think.
For him, because he wasn't making $100,000 a year anyway.
But he took it on the first day. He got caught. Fairfield police says the 19-year-old was caught on the company's surveillance cameras. You got to work there longer to figure out where the cameras
are. That takes some balls to do it on day one. Not to even like waste time building up confidence.
Hopefully, he'll be good if he actually took more, but they only caught him with $100,000.
Well, they said they've only gotten back $86,000, so he did something.
He spent $14,000 in one, like,
good for him.
An hour.
Good for him. He has balled out. I'm pretty sure it's all in a strip club.
Yeah. Probably down to scores or something. That's
you don't think it was like an offshore account he put it into?
Fuck no. Was his name Larry Brooks?
Yeah, Larry Brooks.
As a 19-year-old knew how like cash, I didn't even think that.
Dude.
Here's the thing. I'm very experienced, not at stealing, but at having people steal from me.
Yeah,
ice cream business.
$100,000 you'd keep under the vanilla soft
serve. And there's two different ways people did it. One, it took a while. So the guys who were smart about it, they would take money, like they would sell, like say, 1,000 cones that day. Mm-hmm. Out of the 1,000, they would keep the money. They would pocket the money on like 20.
Yeah.
So they get like $50, $75 bucks.
And it adds
but
up.
If they do that a day, it adds up.
Right. It's a better way to get away with it.
And it took me a while to catch those guys, Larry Brooks. And they weren't doing it on their first day either. Yeah. You act like you're a good employee
build up some confidence
for at least
in
a little while.
Yeah.
The guy who's the idiot, one guy. Just...
Larry stole it immediately after the interview.
Yeah.
He just went from the job interview right into the vault.
He was like, good.
Yeah.
He's like, which way is the bathroom? And does these keys also have the vault lock on them?
I mean, he should have become a foster parent.
But the guy who's the idiot for us, I think similar to Larry Brooks, instead of just doing it like that, taking a little every day, he took a hammer and threw it through our window in the middle of the night, busted in and stole.
Wait, why did he break into his own truck? Does he have the keys or something?
He broke into the warehouse and stole a safe.
Oh.
But, like, also.
But could he open the safe then?
How'd you know it was him? Did he show up to work the next day?
It was, he didn't show up.
He showed up with the safe. It's like, what's the combination, guys?
Well, we had three security cameras. All he had over it, he put, like, his jacket over his head when he came in.
Yeah.
But all the other guys were short, fat guys. He was the only tall, skinny guy. So you could see his body.
And you knew what his jacket looked like?
Plus, it was his jacket he wore to work every day. So it's like super. The secretary solved the crime by the time I got there. She got there at like 7:55 in the morning. Yeah. I came at 8. Within that 5 minutes, she's like, oh, yeah, like Kevin, whatever, like his English name. He stole a safe last night. I'm like, how do you know? She's like, here, watch the video.
And then did y'all confront him?
We called the police. They came. They looked at the video. They went to his house. He admitted it.
He's like, yeah, I stole it. Now do it again.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't you say once in China, then you just get off if you just admit what you did was wrong and say you're sorry?
No, the other guys we caught stealing, they just had to say they were sorry because they stole a truck but returned it.
Right.
This guy went to jail for 6 months.
Wait. Why did they return it?
They stole it. One guy, we fired him, and much like Larry, I forgot to take his keys away when I fired him.
Yeah.
So he was like harassing women in the office, whatever. So I was like, hey, you're fired. And he's like, all right, I got to go to the bathroom. And then he just got in the car and just drove it off the ice cream truck. Just started driving through the city in the ice cream truck.
High-speed chase, like we talked about. Ice cream.
And yeah, low speed. Like it was like an OJ chase, like a 40-mile-an-hour. Because the ice cream truck tops out at like 45.
That's so funny. And so it was a chase or he just returned it?
But we had his cell phone number. So I called the police. They called his cell phone. And they're like, hey, and he answered his phone. Like, oh, police? Like, yeah, I'll answer. 911? Sure. What could this be about? And they're like, you got to return the truck. So he brought it back. But then they just made him apologize. That was his.
And you couldn't press charges?
No, the police came. And I was like, what do I do here? And he was like, oh, the police officer's like, I'll take care of it. And I'm like, oh, he's going to, like, just get out a nightstick and start beating this dude or something.
He was like, say sorry.
Like,
I'm sorry.
That's all he did. He went over and he was like, I asked the guy to apologize. And, he said no. He wouldn't. He didn't apologize, but he would agree to quit, like, be fired.
Wait, what about reimbursing you for the gas or something?
Come on.
That's so funny. He was that bold. He was like, I'm not apologizing, but you can fire me.
That was it. We didn't even get all our money back from the guy who stole the safe.
Why didn't he apologize? What was so hard about apologizing?
Just foolish pride, I guess. I don't know.
I'm not saying shit.
But the guy who stole the safe, after he was in jail for 3 months, his family came and was like, we didn't get our money back. And then after 3 months, they came, or the police came, and they were like, oh, the family's asked us, there's a rule in China, if you agree to let him out early, like, you're the victim, I guess, if you agree to let him out early, then he can be out now, and the family wants him out now. I'm like, all right, I'll agree to let him out if he'll pay us back the money he stole. And then the cop's like, I'll go ask the family, that seems like a good deal.
The cop's negotiating.
Ask the family said no.
So we just
they're like, we're not giving you back the money, we'll let him stay in. So
he
had to
much money
stay in
did
three more months. He stole like $5,000.
Hey,
like that.
That's how much his life was worth. Yeah. They literally did the math. They was like,
you can do three more months.
$5,000.
He was probably like a career criminal. Like, they're like, he's gonna go back in anyway.
Dude, that's hilarious.
So just let him chill.
That is a show, dude.
That's a show. There's our movie. Another movie.
That's episode one.
We're gonna crowdsource that movie,
dude. That's a straight to Netflix short movie thing. That shit is funny.
All right, last story. This is from the Global Times. In China, which is like the USA Today.
Okay.
It's like a major newspaper in China. Global Times. This is a headline. The black community in China counters the myth.
There's a black community in China?
There's a couple people.
Okay. Did I add to the black community?
Yeah, you took a picture of you when you were there.
You doubled it.
There was like, well, we got one. I'm like, I'm not from here. It don't matter. Too late. No,
yeah, Arbery.
I'm probably on brochures.
So it says, the black community in China counters the myth about their ability to withstand heat waves.
I didn't know that was our ability.
Apparently, yeah, in China, the idea Chinese people have an idea that, like this summer, there was a big heat wave in China, and everyone was posting online that they knew some black people, and they were so jealous because the black people weren't going to get as hot as them. during the heat wave.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my God. I thought Chinese people were smart.
Well, this one, Mrs.
That's like, yeah.
You know how many black people die of heat strokes a year?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if Chinese people do. So Jerry Kamala, who's a master's degree student from Kenya who lives in China, she said, they interviewed her, and she says that Chinese people, they think we can withstand a lot of heat, which is not true. I get asked every time I go into a taxi, I'll be like, oh, it's really hot outside. And the driver will be like, yeah, although you're used to the heat.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. That's so funny, yo.
Apparently, it's a common occurrence for her. This is like I feel like you could turn this is some kind of superpower, though.
I mean, that if you met somebody from, like, the Middle East, that would make, you know, sense. You'd be like, oh, well, you're used to, you know, but that doesn't.
Well, there, I think their reasoning is that we got dark skin yeah. African, and Africa is in the heat.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
So but they're probably like, you can do it if you black.
Well, so then they have to have this doctor, Zhu Huadong.
Zhu? What?
Z-H-U. Oh. Mm-hmm. Settle down. He's a doctor at Peking Union Medical College Hospital. So he had to come out, and he says there's no accurate statistics proving that the body's ability to cope with heat varies among different races.
That's so funny. He probably was so annoyed.
He's like so frustrated.
He didn't even put his pants on. He was just like,
I gotta make this comment.
They don't. They're not magic, okay? And just
this
went
is
back.
Like their version of the USA. It's a major newspaper.
Oh my God. He was so annoyed. It's good they're probably asking record. Him, and he's just like, no. Oh my God.
Is this like a thing that people just like an urban legend and
well,
like,
I say billion-dollar like, ideas. We could start like, there's gotta be some way to capitalize on this.
I mean, if I was black and living in China and they thought that, I would have already had a line of skincare products.
I was going to say cream that makes your skin darker.
I would have had lotion that just makes you darker and like tanning oil, but call it like Monroe's Magic Lotion. And then it'd be like, but be able to withstand heat temperatures up to 120.
Just
and
like
just have little Asians dying in the sun.
I mean, you know, like.
And then you just sitting there, like, drinking a pina colada. Uh-huh.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, $1 billion.
Everyone around you is, like, dying.
No, they just dead, and I'm just, yo, I'm about to go over there. I swear, if that doctor didn't say that shit, that scientist.
Oh, I don't think most people read that story.
I would have been.
Yeah, they still believe it, I'm sure.
We got to film a commercial. Put it out over there.
They're on like a, it's like I have like a five-year-old. I was like saying it. Like I was explaining to him where sun you get like tanner from this. I was explaining how the sun makes you tanner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, so the sun will make me like my his a friend who's black. And I'm like, no, it doesn't really work that way. Like,
yeah, no, you got to be in the sun for a long time.
Chinese population apparently.
Yeah, you're
probably interesting. You don't even think you get.
I will say because my wife would get mad. This is not all Chinese people. This is certain. I'm sure like.
But your wife is right. I thought.
That's Andy.
My bad.
That's fine. Most people think we're the same person. My wife's Chinese. She's from Suzhou.
Okay.
But it is the amount of people out here who I'm like, when they get to know, like, comics I meet out here, they get to know me. They're like, wait, you did the comedy club in China? I'm like, yeah. They're like, I met you last summer, but you were like, you had a white mustache and a beard and you were Australian. I'm that's like, that's a different guy.
Yeah. You are from an entirely different place. Yeah. That's so funny. Man, but
it doesn't have to work. Like
that's what I'm saying.
It actually worked to be cool.
Didn't Power Balance those wristbands? They said that like you worked out with them because it made your.
That was a whole scam a few years ago.
It was all
that
fake.
To China too. That was in America. Yeah.
No. I'm saying that was in America. The Sacramento Kings, like their arena, was Power Balance.
I knew people would wear those, and I'd just be like,
those guys made billions of dollars.
And it was like, man, this shit don't work. We don't care.
It was witchcraft.
It balances you out. I didn't know what it meant.
It didn't.
Is that Power Balance? Is the metal? It's not the metal bracelets. It's not the brass ones. It was the like the
they were like rubber almost.
Yeah, they had no. They claim that it controlled your pulse, which somehow balanced you and made you like a better athlete or something.
But yeah, but like, people would wear them all in the street. Like you'd see people walking around in them.
Everyone
like,
loved it.
Like, and everybody people. Just like dum-dums, like I'm a better athlete now. Yeah. No, you're not.
That's what we need, dum-dums.
That's what I'm telling you. Let's go over there. Let's put some like black ink and lotion.
Great idea.
And then have them rub it on their faces. They'll be all of China will be in blackface.
Good picture.
They all be in blackface.
That'd be
good Monroe's Magic Lotion.
All right, that's it. That's the podcast, Monroe. Thanks for doing it,
dude. Thank you for having me, man. This was great. This was
episode
fun.
50
in the books. Woo! Maybe 50 episodes. They said it couldn't be done.
They said we couldn't make it.
Who said you couldn't make
it? We have not been canceled.
We have been canceled by the.
Wait, who are you going to get canceled
if
by?
If we get to 100, we get to syndication. So we're excited.
But it's a podcast. It's already syndication.
Reruns of this podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No one is Ikram hasn't canceled us. Ince hasn't canceled us. But we're going to cancel us right now. Cap, what should we do?
I'm going to go buy some bands for my kid's soccer team, make better athletes, and then I'm going to get lost.
Get lost.
right.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.